This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. Time now for WSMI Sports Saturday, presented by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro. Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care, and by Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. And on this cold Saturday morning, let's turn things over to Mr. Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Teetotan. Cold, yes. Yeah. But they say it's going to be like 60 on Thursday.
That's what they said.
I like that.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, you know, just remember this. The National Weather Service has adopted the CYA system of forecasting.
Yes, so. Well, they feel comfortable in that mode.
Yes, they do.
They operate best.
Actually, they're more accurate than anybody gives them credit.
They've actually been pretty close.
They've actually
with
been
this
very, they've been current very
winter.
Close. Been right on. So,
to warm your heart, spring training is underway for the Cardinals down there in Jupiter, Florida. Imagine, like, with the technology these days, you know, with Twitter and Facebook and all this, these Cardinal players looking online like, oh my goodness, look at Busch Stadium. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look where we're at. Look what they're getting up there in St. Louis. Yeah. Holy smokes.
I think Florida's the only state in the continental U.S. that's like above 50 this winter. That's been like consistently above 50. Everywhere else.
In Arizona?
I looked at a map and it said Arizona was pretty cold too. So
Arizona?
Wow.
That's what the map that I was looking at said. And it was just one particular day.
If the desert's cold, you know it's cold.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. How about Death Valley?
My facts could be wrong, but that's just what I saw.
I don't know. Where's Dave Murray when you need Dave?
Yeah.
Well, they give him the weekends off.
Do they give him the weekends off?
He does need to rest every once in a while. Not too often. Just every once in a while.
It's good. That's it's good to do.
Hey, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with Rick Carpenter. We talked to Rick a few weeks ago. He was talking at the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic in Greenville. We brought you that part of the conversation that pertained to the clinic itself. We also were able to talk with Rick Carpenter about his son, Matt, what it's like to be the father of a professional ball player, those types of things. So we'll bring you that conversation coming up probably about 9:45 here on Sports Saturday this morning. First things first, though, lots of high school basketball to get to. We had a couple of games on the radio last night. Terry, you were in Nokomis for the Skins and the Toppers.
Yeah, we and, you know, the crowd was rather sparse to begin with, and then it built as the evening went on. And Hillsboro was about 7-9 points down most of the game till late in the contest. And then, of course, Nokomis does what Nokomis does, and they stand to the free throw line and make a bunch of free throws in that fourth quarter, and they end up with a 20-point win, 45-25, I think was the final. And Austin Chaussee had 15 points to lead the Skins, and it was a typical Nokomis-type win. It just really was. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary, but and that's a compliment. They do a lot of things very well, and Tyler Herbstreit has really settled in and become a terrific point guard. He was a great point guard last year. And Austin Chaussee, you know, is just a pure athlete. Great contributions from Andrew Lee last night. Marcus Chaussee as well. Dylan Miller had 10 points for the Toppers, and he and Nolan Calvert both had 10 points for the Toppers. Toppers just couldn't get into the scoring column. They missed a few point-blank range shots, and, you know,
happens when you play Nokomis.
It does. It just really does. So it was a good win for Nokomis. They're 18th of the year. So.
And what, 698
for Coach Kimbrough's career? For Coach Kimbrough, yeah. So he's closing in on number 700. So it's getting close. Probably next week. They play Tuesday night at St. Elmo. And St. Elmo, by the way, is in the regional tournament at Nokomis. And then next Thursday night, Nokomis hosts Morrisonville. Now that's a game that was postponed earlier, and it was supposed to be at Morrisonville, but it's now going to be at Nokomis on Thursday night.
Oh, it's at Nokomis
now.
It's
at Nokomis on Thursday night, and then they close out the season with South Fork next Friday night. So, and then the regionals. So,
well, if he's going for 700 at home on Thursday night, there won't be an empty seat in that gym.
Probably not.
I would
hope
not. Probably.
You think that was maybe behind the thinking of moving it to Nokomis?
I don't think it had anything to do with it, to be honest with you.
They always say, David, better to be lucky than good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it just works out.
And, you know, HUD was with me last night, Don Huddleston, and we were talking about if it comes up on Thursday night, and if Nokomis wins Tuesday, and if they win Thursday, and it's Coach Kimbrough 700, it's kind of interesting because Morrisonville has basically been the second home court for Nokomis because they've probably won as many games at Morrisonville at the tournament as they've won anywhere except for their home court. So
yeah, they win that Mohawk Classic every year.
just about every year. They you know, kind of have dominated that for a long, long time. So
to the surprise of no one, the Skins are peaking come regional time.
How about that? How about that? And in their regional, and we'll get to this a little bit later on, but it's interesting because five of the seven teams are from the National Trails Conference, and it seems, just at a quick glance, it seems like the NTC teams may have kind of ganged up on Nokomis to push them further down in the seedings. It doesn't make any difference where they ended up, to be honest with you. It was going to be they were going to be a 2 or 3 seed anyway, and they ended up being a 3. So they're going to play where they play it anyway. So.
Yeah, 2-3 doesn't matter because you're avoiding the top seed in the semis. But yeah, Nokomis on their home floor, 3 seed.
I'm going. Yeah, right. What are you guys smoking, man? You know what?
And good luck with that. We'll see how that works out for you.
Yeah, we'll see
in
how
a couple
that works
of weeks.
Out,
so. Yeah. We'll see. Our other broadcast feature last night was a good game out of the South Central Conference again, as Litchfield went into Carlinville and defeated the Cavies 57-50. It was senior night for Carlinville, and of course Litchfield had their senior night spoiled by Greenville, so the Panthers went in and kind of returned the favor at the expense of the Cavaliers last night. But this was a great ball game. We were tied after one. It was a 1-point lead for Litchfield at the half, 3-point lead after three quarters. Carlinville took a brief lead in the fourth quarter after erasing an 8-point deficit. Litchfield, though, held on down the stretch. Defense, to me, won on that ball game. Cooper Scharf really came into his own last night on the defensive end of the floor. You could tell that he had the spring back in his step after coming off of that ankle injury. Don't know if he's 100%, but he's a lot closer than he was when they played Greenville on senior night.
And when you get somebody like that can step in and play great defense, it's such a boost for a team, especially going down this stretch, because quite frankly, it's a long season. And you know, it can be wearing, it can be kids are banged up, just like, you know, any athlete in any sport. But to step up and have a game like that, that's terrific. So
when Cooper Scharf is fully operational, Litchfield is a completely different team. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gives them another level of athleticism that they don't have if he's not 100%. And you put him together with Alex Hull, and that's dynamite.
Right. And I was talking to Terry about this before the Litchfield-Hillsboro game last Saturday. If Ryan Howard doesn't get hurt in football season, maybe we don't see Cooper Scharf nearly as much, because I believe Cooper was the replacement, because he didn't really start getting playing time until...
He probably wouldn't have started. I mean, he would have been their sixth man. I mean, he would have been getting heavy minutes. But that's an interesting point, though, moving forward for Cooper Scharf next year in his senior year. That very well might have been one of the keys to his development, because the experience he's getting this year, invaluable.
And it's the ability for coaches to adapt, kids to adapt, and that's what Litchfield is. 21st victory last night for the Purple
Panthers.
21st
victory, 21-6. They are 7-1 in the conference. Now, you mentioned Ryan Howard, Dave, and I think the neat thing about Howard is he has been on the bench every single game. And he's not just sitting on the bench. I mean, he's invested.
Right.
He's involved. He's almost like an assistant coach. So when he gets back to playing next year, I mean, that is going to be like Drew Logan has a coach on the floor.
Well, I believe when we talked to Drew at the beginning of basketball season, he said that Ryan was even, you know, participating in some of the freshman practices, giving them pointers and stuff.
There you go.
You know, you can really find out a lot about anybody when they're hurt.
Right. Yeah.
How do they react when things are not going well?
You
know, when you're on a team and you're hurt, you know, you see it all the time in professional baseball. Guys will talk about it. When you're hurt, it feels like you're not part of the team because you're off doing your own thing with your rehab. You know, you don't necessarily go in professional baseball, go on all the road trips. High school is different, of course. But, you know, hats off to Ryan Howard for staying invested, staying involved. And I think the Litchfield coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for that as well, making sure that, hey, you're still a part of this team.
And, you know, you look at high school basketball, and boys basketball in particular has taken a hit over the years with some probably some negativity about maybe not being very good. But, again, I think basketball for boys basketball up in the area this year, I think we've had some, you know, good teams, some good matchups, and should be an interesting postseason. I think they're going to, you know, knock heads with each other and do battle. But it's been a fun year of basketball around the area. Not every team has had a prosperous year, but a lot of the teams have.
Well, some of these regionals are going to be knockout slugfest,
aren't they?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, they're going to be just slugfest.
That's right. The seedings are out. We're going to get to those in a moment here on Sports Saturday. We do need to get to a break, pay some bills. We'll be back with more Sports Saturday following these messages.
GameZone Plus has it all, whether you want to buy, sell, trade, rent, or repair. You need to think of GameZone Plus in Nokomis. GameZone Plus has computers, laptops, tablets, movies on Blu-ray and DVD, video games and accessories, TV and musical instruments. And remember, shop local. Shop GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday.
Kurd's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurd's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurd's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurd's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurd's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
As your agricultural lender, Security National Bank appreciates the trust that area farmers have instilled in us. I'm Jim Miller, and I'd like to be your ag lender this season. As a farmer myself, I understand. I know that farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Visit us at one of our four locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securitynb.com. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Time now for Radar Weather, brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. Cloudy later today, a 30% chance of snow, high of 25. Partly cloudy tonight, low 20. Partly sunny tomorrow, high 32. Looks like a 70% chance of rain, freezing rain and snow on Monday. Gee, doesn't that sound like loads of fun? A resort-like 15 degrees here at the WSMI Weather Center under mostly sunny skies, and the current temperature in Melbourne, Australia, stands at a balmy 67.
I just checked it.
Melbourne, Australia, 67.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I wish. I'm ready for spring.
This update brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. So.
David just showed me the map, too, of what he was talking about earlier.
Is he right?
It was 48 in Phoenix on that map.
Really?
48 in Phoenix.
Really?
I think L.A. was 53 that day, so they were the only place outside of Florida.
But you factor in the smog, and it was 49.
Yeah.
The smog factor.
Yes.
Yes, of course. How could you forget about that? Do people have like furnaces in these warm weather climates?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know, like down south, you know, like
they may
Alabama,
now.
Mississippi. Yeah.
They may now.
Yeah. Yeah, if they didn't, they do now.
Yeah.
They do now.
Yeah.
Furnace sales tripled.
Yes.
Carrier is a big name down south now.
Geocomfort.
Yeah. Oh, man. Everybody is ready for spring, no doubt about
gosh.
It. But, of course, the nice thing about basketball is it's all inside and climate controlled. We'll get to the boys' regional seedings in a moment. Let's take a look back at this last week and girls' regionals. What a week it was at Hillsboro High School. Southwestern comes out with the regional championship, but, we had some great ball games there. And the Hillsboro-Litchfield game, that one will be remembered for a long time in both towns. For different reasons, obviously. But we always talk about Litchfield and Hillsboro. Toss the records out. It doesn't matter. Boy, did that game in the regional semifinal just sum that theory up.
Well, you have two teams that play each other frequently. And I think that was with the third meeting this year for the girls. The boys have a possibility of a fourth meeting in postseason play. So, and, you know, just the rivalry factor itself. Records don't mean a darn thing. And the toppers did not prevail in the first two meetings.
No, they did not.
So they had a little extra incentive playing on their home floor. And when things go right, they go right. And good things happen. So toppers prevailed. And that was a wild finish to the ball game. It was
Litchfield led for 31 minutes.
Yeah.
Never trailed until the final minute.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's about as brutal a way for a season to come to an end, because for Litchfield, you just never see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in the regional, the writing will be on the wall fairly early to where you go, this may just not be our night.
Yeah.
But for Litchfield, I mean, they were missing shots they normally make, but they were in control. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Give the Toppers credit, though.
Yeah.
They came all the way back, and then Hillsboro runs into Southwestern, and the first half, it really was a deja vu situation. You know, Southwestern had outplayed Hillsborough, but the Toppers, they were right in the ball game in striking distance. However, Southwestern, they made shots down the stretch, and that really was the difference. The Birds, very, very tough.
Southwestern, in spite of the fact they are generally considered to be a fairly young team, has really matured.
They're a young team in terms of class, but I tell you what, they are gaining the
They're gamers,
experience.
Aren't they?
Oh, they are flat-out gamers, yes.
Yeah. And you really have to like their chances. And, of course, perhaps I'm a bit prejudiced because of they're in our listening area and we see them more frequently than other teams. But you got to like their chances in the sectional tournament. I don't care who you throw in there. You know, it's you know, Pena's going to be, you know, Pena came on and upended Carlinville in the semifinals at the Pena Regional, which was, you know, Carlinville had gone over there in the conference and won at Pena, something I don't think they'd done before.
Right.
Not many teams have done that ever. And then to have the rematch in the regional tournament, and Pena has had a tough year. They've had all sorts of injuries. They found this Denton kid, this Daly Denton, who had only started a handful of games, and she has come on strong and put some points on the board and kind of provided a spark for Pena. So Pena's in the sectional. They beat Auburn for the championship. And they're waiting to see who they play because the Camp Point Central regional tournament, which was actually scheduled for last night, got postponed because of the snow. So they won't get to play until tonight.
That's no good.
Well, and the drawback there is you don't have really prep time to prepare for an opponent. If
right
you're
now, Pena has no practice time.
Yeah. So
unless they have a shoot-around on Sunday.
Something
but what,
like
what
that.
What if the game gets snowed out tonight?
Well,
look at the radar screen.
Well, you know, and the IHSA's faced situations like this before. IESA as well has faced situations where they've had to push games back. And, you know, to me, if you're going to run a regional tournament, it's good to have girls' games. If you're going to have a sectional start on Monday, it's good to have the championship on Thursday.
Right. You know, people say, well, boys' regionals are on Friday. Yes, but the sectionals on Tuesday.
On Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Right.
Yes. And the boys' super sectional on Tuesdays. Right. So if you have a championship on Friday, you've got a day's preparation. So, and that's perhaps something for the IHSA to look at. Don't know. But, you know, they ought to me, to help standardize everything, is get everything standardized. If you have a six-team tournament, this is how the dates are going to set up. If you have a seven-team regional or an eight-team regional, this is how we want it run. And have a day built in, like on a Thursday, for a night off in case you need snow, if you have a snow problem. So. Right. Just a thought.
We always talk about how Carlinville needs to be hosting postseason events. Well, they're hosting them
now.
It is the place to be here the rest of the month of February. They will have the Class 2A girls sectional beginning Monday night, both semifinals Monday night at 6. Pena will take on either Camp Point Central or Pleasant Plains. And then at 8 o'clock, we will have live coverage of Southwestern and Riverton. We'll probably be on the air about 10 minutes before the top of the hour here on WSMI FM 106. It'll stream at WSMIRadio.com. Then the sectional final will be Thursday night. And then the last week of February, the Class 2A Boys Regional heads into Carlinville. And it's a South Central Regional. What a lot of fun that's going to be. Litchfield, the top seed there. Carlinville the 2, Southwestern the 3, Hillsborough the 4, and Gillespie the 5. So, I mean, that's going to be a slugfest.
Well, and that's what it ought to be in a regional championship.
Yeah.
You know, regionals are best when you have teams that are very close to each other.
I think so.
And you don't have, you know, two really good ones and six really bad teams. So this is one of these regionals I think you're going to have, you know, distinct possibility of upsets. And certainly some good basketball. And they'll play one game on Monday, and then the semis will be on Tuesday. So they'll have a couple of nights off there for rest in the boys' regional at Carlinville. So
yeah, Hillsborough and Gillespie will play Monday night the 24th at 7. We'll have every game from this regional live or on the radio on WSMI FM 106. So the winner of Hillsborough and Gillespie will get Litchfield on Tuesday at 6, and then Carlinville and Southwestern on the 25th at 8. So both semifinals there on Tuesday night. That regional will then feed in to the Vandalia sectional along with the Wood River regional.
Yes, East Dalton Wood River hosting a regional. The Comets of Greenville get the top seed there. Number 2 is Roxana, Vandalia 3rd, East Dalton Wood River 4th, and Staunton 5th. So the Bulldogs will play against East Dalton Wood River on Monday night. Should they win, they get Greenville in the second game on Tuesday. So
Greenville kind of flying under the radar,
well,
it seems like.
That's what I'm kind of thinking.
They've really caught fire.
Since they've gotten out of that Litchfield tournament,
yeah,
it seems like the Comets have kind of put pull their season together a little bit. So
saw them at Litchfield there. Was it last? I guess a week from yesterday is when that was. But they're just so well balanced.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of different ways that they can win a basketball game, and they're going to be tough there.
And as we've seen, it doesn't make any difference how good of a basketball team you are. There is a week or two generally during the season that every team will have just a rough patch. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily lose games, but they may not be playing as well as they do other times of the season. And maybe that's what happened to the Comets. You know, maybe they've now regained their stride and have finished out the season very strong here. They and Litchfield, I believe, are battling for the conference.
I think I heard that they hold their own destiny for the conference championship.
If they both went out, they tie for the conference.
They tie for the conference. So.
But Greenville, like every program over there for the Comets, well coached.
Todd
Cantrell been there a long time, and there's no panic with the Comets.
And they've
gotten used to slow starts because of all the football success that they have year after year, to where you pretty much know, okay, we're not going to have much practice time to start. The first couple of weeks probably going to be a little rough, but here we are moving towards regional time, and they're playing good basketball.
Yeah, and there's a good, you know, we talk about the continuity with the coaching and that the coaches coach many different sports, which probably is a huge advantage for Greenville. So. And they always seem to have a couple of really good athletes, too.
Well, that helps, too.
That, you know, that helps, too.
That's never hurt.
It's always good
anybody.
To have good horses in the race, you know.
That's right. So the Wood River regional winner and the Carlinville regional winner will square off in the sectional semifinals at Vandalia. Now, the other regionals that are feeding into Vandy are the Robinson regional, where the top seed is KZ Westfield. The two seed is T-Town. The other regional is the Breeze Modern Day regional. The top seed is Modern Day with the two seed Central. So odds are those two will be squaring off in the championship.
A brutal sectional at Vandalia.
I think they're ranked 7th and 8th in state in Class 2A.
Yeah.
Those two,
I mean,
respectively.
It was last year's sectional at Greenville. It was T-Town and Breeze Central in that sectional final. I remember going over there. That was – you couldn't fit in a single more soul in that gymnasium that night. And what a ball game it was. So might get another one of those.
Sure.
But you're right. That sectional at Vandalia, oh, my gosh.
It's
if you don't have anything going on, March 4th and March 5th, go over there.
Yeah.
Do that. That'll be a good time.
And be prepared to be bombarded by lots of noise.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll have great crowds at the end.
And that's a great gym.
Yeah, it is.
That is a great gym. Especially, to me, no gym screams sectional basketball like Vandalia. And maybe that's because when I was in high school, that's where Bunker Hill always went.
Sure.
But I love that gymnasium, especially come sectional time.
Yeah, another great venue to host a tournament.
Yes.
Vandalia. So.
Yes.
By the way, the North Mac Panthers, they're going to Shelbyville. And this is part of the IHSA geography class, okay?
Somebody always gets shipped somewhere odd, you know?
Well, you know, with Carlinville girls, they got shipped to Pena, you know, going right through Hillsboro, and they go to Pena. So here in North Mac goes to Shelbyville, and they will see action on Wednesday evening. They get the number 3 seed. Top seed there is Auburn. Trojans get the top seed. They will play the winner of Monday night's Pena-Shelbyville game on that Wednesday, the 26th. And then the second game that night will be Meridian High taking on North Mac. That ought to be a terrific matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a team that's perennially good in Meridian High School. And, of course, North Mac with T.J. Wilson. You know, that team seems to come alive in postseason.
Yeah, they play well when it's win or go home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Auburn being the top seed there. Of course, North Mac just went to Auburn
not
that long ago and played a heck of a ball game.
Heck of a ball game, yeah. So, and that was one of those nights, again, where the house was packed and the crowd was loud. And, you know, it was a very physical ball game. And that's pretty much the regional you're going to get at Shelbyville as well.
Another 2A regional that folks might be interested in will be the Williamsville regional. The top seed there is Petersburg Porta. Williamsville, the 2 seed. Riverton, the 3. And then Plains, the 4, with Athens, the 5. And Williamsville-Riverton in the semifinals.
Well,
that'll be a nice ball game.
You know, look at those Sangamo Conference teams there. That's a great conference. And, you know, Plains is 4th and Athens 5th.
That's a stacked regional.
That's a stacked regional, yes. Yeah. That most anybody could come out of that regional, literally.
Yeah, that thing's wide open.
It is.
You literally put those teams in a hat.
Yeah,
and
shake them up and
draw somebody out.
Pull somebody out.
They'll be a worthy winner.
That's right.
As far as 1A goes, at the Pawnee Regional, which will be feeding into the Oakville Sectional, Springfield Lutheran is the top seed. Lincolnwood got the 2. Springfield Calvary the 3. Edinburgh's 4. Kincaid South Fork is 5. Pawnee got the 6. And Morrisonville the 7. And the interesting thing about the 1A regionals that are involving our local teams, they're all 7-team fields.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
kind of odd.
Well,
you know?
It tells you that we have a lot of smaller schools right across the central part of the state.
Well, and with the 4-class system, this is probably one of those things that will
become
more of the norm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the further north you go, perhaps, and the further south you go, you'll run out of that situation where you have more of a 5-team regionals. But right here, right across the midsection of the state, 7-team regional at Pawnee. And Lutheran, deservedly so, top seed. They are a terrific ball club. And Lincolnwood, if there was a bit of a surprise, maybe Lincolnwood getting number 2 seed, but not really, I suppose. Lancers went to Calvary last night and won. They played a tough game against Lutheran and lost to Lutheran. But really, whether you're 2 or 3 doesn't make much difference. You're going to end up, Calvary and Lincolnwood were probably going to play each other in the semis if they get that far. So.
Well, an interesting thing about the Pawnee Regional is a lot of these teams dealing with some pretty significant injuries.
Yeah, yeah. Calvary, of course, lost their leading scorer, and that's certainly affected them. There's been some other dings along the way as well. I know Derek Sale was hurt for the Lancers there for a game or two, and he's back in and playing. So, these teams are very familiar with each other because they're teams that play each other during the regular season. So then there's not going to be any surprises. It's just let's throw the ball up and let's see who wins.
It's really important for the Lancers to get Derek Sale back because obviously Snyder and Brockmeyer maybe carry the headlines for that Lancer team, but Derek Sale has been having a phenomenal year.
Great defense. You know, they Lancers play a little more defense than they have traditionally in the past. So they like to be in your face more.
And, I mean, if you want to move along in the postseason, look no further than what Nokomis does year after year. You better play defense.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't bring your defensive pail to the regional, you'll be going home quickly.
And how many times have we seen a team similar to Nokomis or Nokomis where, ball game is tight, maybe you're down 4 or 5 points, kind of hanging around, probably should be losing by much more, but you're not. And then all of a sudden, force a couple turnovers, get a couple of layups, boom, you're right back in the ball game, and the momentum has switched, and you end up winning the ball game.
Southwestern girls are
Southwestern
the exact
girls,
same way.
Great example.
Exact
yeah.
same way. So the Southwestern yeah. girls and the Nokomis boys, to me, have so many parallels to their program. It's staggering, really.
It really
it's no secret, then, that those are the two most successful teams, really, year in, year out, when you talk about postseason success.
And when you talk to anybody who plays them, what do they talk about first? Defense.
Defense.
Yeah.
Defense, defense,
mm-hmm.
defense.
Mm-hmm. In your face.
In your face.
Not going to get a good look. Not going to get a good look.
Not
going to
happen.
If you take that shot, you're probably going to have a body on you.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. That's the way it is. So.
At the Bunker Hill Regional in Class 1A, also feeding into the Oakville Sectional, Madison, the top seed, shocker, Carrollton, the 2, Calhoun, the 3, Metro East is the 4, Brussels, the 5, Bunker Hill, the 6, and Mount Olive is the 7th seed there. So, barring something crazy, you would think Madison and Carrollton on a collision course there.
Yeah, and Madison just traditionally has been strong in recent years coming out of the Metro East area. So, really, this is their regional to lose. Madison, you have to feel very good, very confident that they're probably going to win that regional. Although, if anybody's going to throw a monkey wrench in things, Carrollton could.
Well, that's right. And who knows, Coach Lofka might be standing at the door asking for IDs of these Madison kids as they come in the door, just to make sure. Just to make sure we don't need a repeat of the early 80s.
I wondered if you were going to go there.
I had to do it. At the Nokomis Regional, which will feed into the Bridgeport Red Hill Sectional, Altamont the top seed, Effingham, St. Anthony, the 2, Nokomis, 3, St. Elmo Co-op, 4, Beecher City, 5, Ramsey, 6, Cowden-Herrick is 7. And if you don't think Steve Kimbrough was going to play the 3 seed card, I think you're crazy.
Wow.
There's no way they're the 3rd seed.
No.
On their home floor? Come on.
No.
Come on.
No. 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 But doesn't make any difference.
Don't matter.
He'll play, throw a team out there, we'll play you.
Well, it really just determined who they were going to face in that first game, whether it be Cowden-Herrick or Ramsey. I mean, because Effingham, St. Anthony, and Nokomis interchangeable in that game.
No, that's right.
And the Altamont Indians get the top seed. So, although Altamont, I've talked to a couple people, and they've kind of maybe hit a rough patch here the last week or two. So
not the time you want to hit that
patch. No, but you know, they got the number one seed, so they have the bullseye on their backs.
Wasn't Effingham St. Anthony just 2A last year? Because I believe they were in the Hillsboro Regional.
I believe, yes,
that
they
seems,
were.
That does
T-Town,
seem right.
With T-Town,
yeah,
it
does
yes.
seem right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, limit your recruiting and you can drop back down.
It was a rough year.
Or maybe they took advantage of that rule. If you didn't, you know, have a winning season, you can drop back down to a lower.
They very well might have taken advantage of that. Yeah, so. A la Belleville, Althoff.
See, I have a solution for that. I have the perfect solution. It's called the T-Tote rule.
Uh-oh.
And it's very simple, because what you do, you count co-op programs and private schools the same way. So if you go to a private school and you come from a school district that has 700 kids, that's 700 in the enrollment. You just keep adding it up. That's how you do it. That makes it more fair.
Would seem to be more fair.
That's right.
But I don't think they're going for fair, though.
They make me dictator of that organization, by gosh. We'll get that taken care of. I guarantee you, we'll get that taken care of.
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We're back with more in just a moment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro has everything you need to have a great time. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. Virtual sports include hunting, golf, car racing, spinning bikes, batting cages, air hockey, and pool. Call 556-8558 for tee times. Memberships and hourly rates are available. BR Virtual Sports, for the child in all of us. Located on School Street across from Vogel Lumber in Hillsboro. Like them on Facebook.
No one seems quite sure where the legend of George Washington and the cherry tree started, but one thing is for sure. February, the month of Washington's birthday, is traditionally cherry dessert month. Make your desserts even better with pure, natural, high-quality, farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products, topped with Prairie Farms whipped cream. For a healthy February drink, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
And WSMI Sports Saturday continues on this 15th day of February. Hope everybody got their sweetheart something sweet.
Right. Sweet.
I forgot all about it, I'll be honest with you. It's basketball season.
Terry, for some reason, I have a feeling you take care of your business the other 364 days out of the year.
I don't know. My poor wife's a basketball widow this time of year, so, you know. But she's used to it now after 30-plus years. So.
It's no surprise at this
point, is it? No surprise. We've had some great basketball this year, especially at the junior high level. And the Hillsboro Dragons boys 7th grade basketball team finished second in the Class 3A tournament on Thursday night. They played a very good team out of Washington, Illinois, Washington Central. And the Dragons were the smaller team. They kind of were deer in the headlights there in the first minute or two of the ball game, which probably didn't help. But they had trouble stopping one young man from Washington Central who had 24 points against them. He scored, I think, 10, 12 points first quarter, got in foul trouble, sat out second quarter. Dragons came back, actually took the lead. He comes back in the second half and kind of takes over the ball game again, and the Dragons end up in second place. But what a terrific run by Hillsboro. They finished 20-3 on the season.
So. And a lot of times in junior high, one kid –
sure.
Can really make the difference. Yeah.
And the young man, Donovan Moore, for Hillsboro, had 21 points in that championship game, and he scored more than 20 points in every game in the state tournament. So, Hillsboro,
that's a lot of scoring.
You know, that's a lot of points for six-minute quarters.
Yes.
And, you know, probably the smallest kid in the tournament, Lemon Boy, he's, you know, listed at 5 feet tall, but he's probably not. The thing about it is Washington tried to run a trap against him.
Couldn't do it.
They couldn't trap him. So, you know, toppers at the high school level have some talent coming up through the ranks.
So you're saying they got some guards coming.
I think they got guards coming, so we'll see. You know, always good to have guards.
Always good to have guards.
Yes, sir.
So congratulations to the Dragons on what was – you can't really have a much better basketball season – then win in the seventh grade girls' state and win in second place in boys' state. That's pretty good.
And that was the night where you had the championship
that was
game
Southwestern from regional championship.
Yeah. So you probably had a good crowd at Hillsborough. Had a terrific crowd at Winona, almost 3 hours away. And boy, they packed that place. And it's kind of interesting. It was an older school, and the gym was very nice, but the school was kind of old. And we've often wondered why we don't see more of the junior high tournaments down in this area. And I know that some officials from Hillsborough talked to the IESA representative there, and were asking about, could we get on the list? Could we maybe host a tournament? And the IESA official said, yeah, we'll come by and take a look. And all of a sudden, halfway through the third quarter, fourth quarter, early fourth quarter, here comes a bird flying around in the gymnasium. And the comment was made to me Friday morning at the assembly. Well, we may have a pretty good chance to get a IESA state tournament at Hillsborough.
Nice.
I said, there's a lot of good facilities around here. And they won't have birds flying around.
Right,
that's
a definite plus.
That's a definite plus.
For some of the stories I heard about some of the facilities, it was almost like you were in Sochi.
Oh, it was. Put it this way, the hallways to walk down, say you're going to the concession stand or to use the restroom or something, they were about 3 feet wide. It was almost like you were on a submarine.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, that's an old... It was old.
Not claustrophobic, are you?
Yes, I am. But fortunately, where I was sitting, it was kind of like the cavern in Bunker Hill.
Okay.
So it was an old band room that opened up at the end of the gym. So I had a pretty good view. But a great crowd. And, the IESA events, they do a great job. So... And congratulations to the Dragons. Coach Stu and John Cooper, the head coach, he's the eighth grade coach. So they've had a good year.
We really do get spoiled around here, too. Not with just the people that we deal with, but the facilities that we get to go to on a regular basis.
Well, and I've said this for years. I said one of the great things about our job is we get to meet some really nice people. We really do. And we get to deal with some terrific people, not only through what we do in sports, but just in the business itself. And we have great hosts around here for tournaments and sports venues and stuff like that, and great facilities too. So,
I was going to say we get to meet really nice people and Darren and Eve, but I'm not going to say that. I don't want to say that.
As long as he furnishes you your blue M&Ms.
That wouldn't be very nice.
As long as you have your blue Emmys, you're okay.
Rest assured, Darren, Deneve, and crew will do a great job of hosting that sectional next week. That will be a smooth running operation.
Well, and in Carlinville, another great venue for years, Carlinville had super sectional girls games, going back a few years.
They could have that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a great venue.
They could easily host a 1A, 2A super.
Sure. So you're right, Tim. We get very, very spoiled. We are very, very spoiled around here. And you talk to other people at other schools and, They're shocked at what we do here for sports, and this is what we've always done. So
the people we deal with make it easy for us what we do.
Oh, a piece of cake.
Yeah, nothing to it.
So,
we just show up and talk. That's plug in and talk. That's all we got to do.
We sit on our butt and we get paid to do it.
That's exactly right. So it's going to be a fun week of basketball next week. The Class 2A girls sectional at Carlinville. We will have semifinal number 2 for you, Southwestern and Riverton, Monday night live coverage at about 7:50 here on FM 106. Of course, streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. And then the last week of February, Monday the 24th, Boys Regional Week will get underway. Of course, we'll have all sorts of coverage for you there. Always check the website for the broadcast schedule at WQSMIRadio.com.
Plus, if you have family and friends who live outside the area, don't forget the internet. This is a popular time of year for the internet because a lot of family and friends like to tune in for postseason tournament play at WSMIRadio.com. So our friends from Network One Sports.
Yes, you can also get the podcasts on the website as well. We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to warm you up a little bit. We're going to talk Cardinal baseball with Matt Carpenter's dad, Rick Carpenter. We'll do that following these messages.
Grow your own way.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you. Just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
Teamwork Rehab, physical therapy at Hillsborough Area Hospital, can provide you with all the services you need for living well, working effectively, and playing at the top of your game. We specialize in aquatic therapy, work hardening and conditioning, phase 3 cardiac rehab, orthopedic and sports rehabilitation, custom splinting and orthotics. Let our team of all licensed professionals meet your speech, occupational, and physical therapy needs at any of our 3 convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal intention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
Time now for radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Today, a slight chance of snow, a high of about 25, partly cloudy tonight, low of 20, partly sunny, 32 for a high tomorrow. Then a likelihood of a rain, freezing rain, snow mixture on Monday, and temperatures eventually warming up to the 50s by midweek next week. Right now at the Weather Center, we have 20 degrees. This update brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
The American farm family carries on the tradition of hard work and dedication to the land. This Farmers Appreciation Salute is brought to you in part by First National Bank in Raymond, Girard, Vernon, Morrisonville, and Pawnee. By Curtin Land and Cattle with registered Angus cattle. CHS in Shipman, farmer-owned and global connection. By Werntine's Appliance and Video in beautiful downtown Litchfield and Carlinville. And by Linko Precision, serving your community.
And I might add, the super extended forecast calls for a major warming trend about June. So, you know,
if you're... that's not bad.
You know, I'm pretty accurate on that most of the time, so...
If you're... There's some station in St. Louis, they used to give away an umbrella if the meteorologist got the temperature within like 4 degrees. Are you kidding me? I can get it within 4 degrees and I'm not even a meteorologist. Give me the exact number.
Hey, we can manipulate the thermometer.
That's true.
Everything can be manipulated.
Mercury,
okay?
Can be manipulated.
That's right.
Spring training got underway on Wednesday for the St. Louis Cardinals. Pitchers and catchers reported, and a lot of position players have already reported early, and some of the comments coming out, some of the articles being written, this sounds like a Cardinals club that is focused on unfinished business from a year ago.
They're pretty ticked off they didn't win the World Series.
They are.
In other words, they're you know, they've...
And I think they're ticked off they didn't win, and I think they're ticked off that they didn't play well in the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't show what type of club that they had been in the World Series.
Yeah, they did not have their best efforts. So here they come back with all this great pitching. Plus, you know, Garcia's back.
Yadi was
Mott's
quoted
back.
Yadi was quoted as saying this is the best team he's been on paper.
Yeah. Johnny Peralta showed up early to camp. He's trying to put his past behind him and provide the Cardinals some an extra dimension of versatility, perhaps, and a little pop off the bench if it need be from time to time. So,
and his range defensively at short won't be, you know, good. But think about this, though. With Carpenter at third, he's got more range than Freeze had.
Yeah.
And with Wong at second, he theoretically should have more range at second than Carpenter had at second. So Peralta shouldn't have to cover as much ground, in theory.
And he's got a pretty good arm.
Yeah.
You know.
And he can hit.
He can hit.
And let's be honest, that's why they got him.
And then that's why they got him. Versatility. He can play probably 2 or 3 positions on the infield and can come off the bench and can play every day if you need him to play every day for a while. So there's some versatility there. Plus, he's a winner. You know.
He can play left field, too, because that's where he's playing for Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on teams that have won. He knows success. I think he's going to be a good fit for the Cardinals.
A lot of Major League Baseball teams got to be jealous, because you look at the guys the Cardinals lost last year in Carlos Beltran and David Freese, just to name a couple, and they got better.
Right. Well, that's right. You win 97 games last year, get to the World Series, and pretty much everyone around baseball says, well, they're better this year than they were a year ago. that scary. Of course, one of the reasons they were so good a year ago was the emergence of Matt Carpenter. And a couple weeks ago, his father, Rick Carpenter, longtime high school baseball coach in the state of Texas, was a keynote speaker at the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic, the annual clinic they have there at Greenville High School. So we were talking to Rick Carpenter about his appearance at the clinic, and then the conversation turned towards what it's like to have a son playing professional baseball. You've had a lot of success winning games at the high school level, but you also have someone that is in your bloodline that is playing professional baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. And talk about what it is like to watch your son play in the World Series like he did last fall.
Oh, my goodness. It is it's indescribable. I mean, there's so many different moments, you know, throughout the course of his career, to where he got drafted, moving up level to level, the first time he ran out at Busch Stadium in the starting lineup, the first hit he got, and on and on and on up into last year where you get to see him playing the World Series. I mean, I've never been to Fenway, so, you know, to go to Fenway, a place that was on my bucket list, and to actually see my son participate while I'm there, yeah, it's indescribable. We just feel so blessed, and I'll tell you, we're just loving life.
And as a parent, it drives you absolutely insane to watch your kids participate. And I don't care how old the kids are, there's still a nervousness that's associated with being a parent.
You know, I didn't even really feel that until my son's gotten to college. Of course, Matt was first to get into college, because I always coached them, or it was Little League where they were so good that they just, you know, you didn't worry about it. Well, when Matt got to college, all of a sudden he's not, you know, the only good one out there. Everybody's good. And he's not even starting the first couple games. So, you know, it's so, like you said, it's so nerve-wracking to sit there and you're just hoping and wishing that he gets a hit. And I never had time to do that when I coached him. And like I said, he was always so good at that level that it wasn't even a concern. But, yeah, that until he got established in college, I mean, it was almost miserable, really.
And, Rick, I think you got more mentions than any parent on Cardinals broadcast last year because Matt did such a fabulous job at second base. Of course, he was an all-star. You were given a lot of the credit for that, for the work that you guys put in over the off season and during the winter. I'm just curious, what was that process like, Matt, knowing I've got an opportunity to maybe be an everyday player at second base and then taking advantage of it like he did?
Well, Matt and I worked at second base. There's no doubt about it. I put in work with him, but, you know, I'm definitely a believer in giving credit where credit's due, and I give that to Jose Aquindo. Is Matt just, you know, he goes to spring training early, and Jose Aquindo goes to spring training early, you know, just volunteering his free time, and he goes out there for countless hours. They just lived on the baseball field for 2 weeks before everybody gets there and just put a crash course in on him. And Matt's a student of the game. He's a workaholic, and Jose's the same thing. He's just pounding second base at him, and Matt's just absorbing it, and shoot, just it turned into what it was. Pretty successful.
I've heard people within the Cardinals say, too, that Matt could always hit, but in the last couple of years, he really started to drive the baseball. Is that something you could speak to?
Absolutely. I mean, he gets in that weight room, and he's getting stronger. You know, as you get older, your body matures, even at his age. And, I think he's, he's going to continue to drive the ball. And, you know, who knows, maybe even hit some more home runs. That's not his game, but it's still, the stronger you get and the better you square the ball up, the better chance you have. And yeah, he went through a spell in college, too, where the hitting coach tried to tweak his swing a little bit, and he struggled with that. They tried to make him a home run hitter in college, is what it amounted to, and it messed up his swing a little bit, and it took him a while to get it back, and it's an ongoing process. You know, we feel like he was just about there about the time he got drafted, actually, and he's just getting better every year. So I hope that continues.
I guess, Rick, that's a fine line, too, especially at the high school level, because no two kids swing the same. Nobody throws the same. You know, in basketball, there's the quote-unquote perfect shot. If you're throwing a football, there's a good way to do it. But in baseball, and kind of like golf, a golf swing, if it fits you, then it works.
Exactly. That's what I do with the kids. I most certainly don't try to make everybody a clone. I take each individual kid, and you know, if they're hitting well, like I said earlier, I leave them alone. If they're not hitting well, I take them into the cage and, you know, throw them some pitches, try to study what they're doing and, you know, see what's wrong and start tweaking it from there. But, yeah, you try to make everybody the same, then, you know, you're going to end up with a bunch of guys that are struggling with a bat. Hitting's so difficult and so mental as it is, the last thing you want a kid doing when he's up there with a bat in the hand is thinking about his swing. He's got a, you know, grip and rip, so to speak, when that pitch is coming at him.
Rick, speak to that mental aspect where kids will struggle, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're pitching or you're hitting. Kids will struggle in baseball because it is a difficult sport. How do you handle that as a coach going to a player?
I tell the kids to take 10 at-bats at a time, or maybe 5 at-bats at a time. They just pick a number and think of it in that way, because kids will start just saying, man, I'm 0 for my last 15, or I'm 2 for my last 20. I tell them just take X amount of bats at a time, and let's talk about quality of bats. Just don't talk about hits. Let's talk about quality at bats. How many pitches did you have in that at bat? Did you square the ball up? Doesn't matter if you get a hit or not. You know, did you have a good at bat? Did you move the runner over? You know, think about those lines. You know, did you have a successful at bat, not just get a hit? You know, and the other thing that I tell them is you really got to be selective up there at the plate. That's something that I drilled Matt with over the years as far as being selective at the plate. And that helps him from going into any prolonged slump, because he just doesn't get up there and swing at anything and everything that's thrown at him. So if you wait for your pitch, it's pretty hard to stay in a long slump if all you're swinging at is a good strike. You're basically going to square those up most of the time.
And Matt does have a heck of a batting eye, and he got off to a bit of a slow start there in the playoffs, but it seemed to me that he was taking pitches that were called balls in the regular season, and then all of a sudden they were getting called strikes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't want to be the typical parent on that, but then again, maybe I do want to be.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I looked that stuff up on the computer, and he would actually text it to me after the game. You know, he would text me a picture, you know, that box they put on the screen and they put the ball either in or out of it. He would actually, he had a way of texting that to me, and he would show me where the pitch was that he got rung up on. It's unbelievable.
Rick, we really appreciate some of your time today, and we'll let you go on this one. When you're watching Matt play in the major leagues, is it more nerve-wracking if you're in the stands or watching on TV?
In the stands.
No hesitation.
I'm in no hesitation, because, you know, you're surrounded. I mean, most everybody knows who you are because you're in the relative section. You know, so you feel like everybody's looking at you when he, you know, say he has a bad at bat with people on base, you know. Now, it's great when he does something good because everybody's patting on the back and high-fiving and all that. But, you know, in the privacy of your living room, all that happens there is the wife and I will turn and look at each other and either shake our head or celebrate, one of the two. So that's pretty low-key.
And at that point, Rick, you say, well, if he gets a base hit, that's my son. If he strikes out, that's her son, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we've done that our entire lives.
Rick Carpenter, we really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for some of your time.
Thank you so much. It was all my pleasure.
And that was a fun conversation with Rick Carpenter. I thought he made a great comment in there about his philosophy as a high school baseball coach and hitting. He tells his kids, focus on 5 to 10 at-bats at a time. Quality at-bats.
Yeah.
Not getting hits. Mm-hmm. Quality at-bats. And you think of that, and then think back to watching Matt Carpenter at the plate. That is his philosophy. Right. Nobody takes more quality at-bats throughout the season than Matt Carpenter.
And they talk about being a tough out. That's it.
Oh, man, yes.
And, you know, and a quality at-bat may mean the pitcher has to throw 10 pitches to you.
And that's why he became such a very good leadoff mm-hmm. hitter, for that reason right there. He would see the pitcher's entire arsenal the first at-bat of the game.
Right, right. And he got a little out of kilter there towards the end of the season, and, of course, the postseason's kind of always a different animal. But, you know, Matt Carpenter had a terrific year, and I think the Cardinals are expecting, even if he doesn't hit as well as he did last year, they're still expecting a very good year out of Matt Carpenter.
And he did have the game-changing at-bat in that NLCS Game 6 in Kershaw.
Yes, he did.
And is he not kind of just the prototypical Cardinal? This guy's a gamer.
Yeah.
I mean, no batting gloves, you know. Rarely wears sleeves. I mean, this dude's just hard-nosed, full bore all the time.
Yeah.
Love watching them play.
Yeah, the Cardinals, theoretically, you know, should blow away everybody in the Central Division.
Pirates have gotten worse.
The Pirates
Reds haven't gotten better.
No.
The only thing they got better was getting rid of their manager. That probably adds five wins to their total this year.
Might actually add a little more than that. So.
The Cubs are the Cubs.
Yeah.
The Brewers are the Brewers. So, really, you know, the Cardinals, on paper, should win the division easily, but we've seen it so many times. Whenever you're, quote-unquote, the odds-on favorite before the season, something happens.
Well, and it's not unusual for multiple pitchers to go down.
Right.
And the Cardinals have depth, but still. When pitchers go down, you can only overcome so much.
Baseball will happen.
Yes,
baseball will happen.
That's right.
Those baseball gods, like Mother Nature, are fickle.
And by the way, baseball will happen. Coming up 2 weeks from today, Cardinal baseball on the radio, spring training game, 11:45 against Miami.
Oh, that warms me up
there.
Yeah. We'll have the sectional semifinal from Carlinville Monday night, Southwestern and Riverton live at 8 here on FM 106. Our coverage underway at 7:50. Fighting Illini basketball tonight. Hosting Ohio State live at 6:30 here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. For Tito, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on FM 106.